Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
It's that time of year. The Emmys wrap up the TV season and a new fall season begins. Which new shows are we turning on or turning off? What the hell is going on season 10 of Atlanta Housewives? And which returning shows have us ranting? That and more with a full TV panel now. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by a panel of television experts to take a look at this upcoming fall season, to dish and shade and a lot more. From AfterBuzz TV and Reality T, it's me, it's Grant's Rants, and joining me from a series of episodes here, I'm going to shout them out. So that way, if you enjoy these folks, you can look back at what they've talked about and their stories. From episode 10, 20, 42, and now number 70, it's James Law Jr.
Hi, it's glad to be back.
Good to have you back, James.
Yes.
It's been long overdue.
Long overdue. I've been waiting. I'm ready.
And from episode number 41, Mark J. Freeman returns.
The restraining orders in your neighborhood are down now, so I'm allowed back, and I'm here to rant.
It's been a while. It's always fun to look back and choose who's going to come back to these shows and who can make and all that, but you all said you could do it right away, and I love it. So, from episode number 55, it's Isabel Carrasso.
Thanks for having me back.
A real TV expert. Isabel is an NBC page, so she knows everything that's been said this fall season.
Yes.
I'm turning to you to any questions about who's producing what and what night.
You go for it.
I want to know. So this is the one podcast you will not hear anything about Kylie Jenner's pregnancy on. So you're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's why I do it.
A safe space. You can hear about that trash somewhere else. But tonight we're going to talk about the Emmys and TV. You know, everyone that listens to this show knows that I'm not in love with the award shows, and I tolerate them. I did sit through this Emmys, though, and I had to watch it in three parts, because first of all, I was watching on CBS.com.
Because he ran out of liquor and had to go to the liquor.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
I watched on CBS.com, and they've got, like, you know, 50 commercial breaks and two of the same commercials for some medication, you know, like, over and over. So I could only get through so much of it, but I did sit through the whole thing. And, you know, the first thing that stood out to me, and we're just going to give a brief overview, kids. I mean, it's old news. But what did you think of this announcer? This was something fresh that they did.
Oh, I was obsessed with it. My friends and I were, like, almost in tears laughing at this guy. So hyped on everything.
Yes. Were you laughing because it was good, entertaining, or bad?
No, bad. It was so bad.
Was okay, good.
He shouted out, Jason Bateman. Like, it was like his God. It was crazy. It was so
My friend started, because I was at AfterBuzz doing a show, and so when I got home, I DVR'd it. So when I got home, I saw on my way home on Facebook all my host friends talking crap about the announcer. I'm like, okay, I wait to see it. And then when I heard, I was like, oh my God, he's horrible. Right. But I was enjoying it the whole time.
Wasn't it so they could, like, cross-promote Superior Donuts, CBS's comedy?
Is that what it is?
I think he was on that.
For those that are listening, like myself, that didn't watch.
There was someone on stage, there was an announcer. And I think a good announcer or a voiceover should never be distracting from the actual broadcast.
Right.
So you saw him trying to be funny.
You didn't just hear him.
No.
You just heard him.
See, normally what happens on most of these award shows, you don't like award shows, but most award shows, they have an announcer when someone wins. And so-and-so won Oscar back in 1995, 1997, 1999, as they walk up to the stage.
Third time nominated in this category.
Yeah, so they'll say something like, and she has 11 dogs, you know, and say something funny. Yeah. But usually it's very monotone, very kind of slickly produced voiceover, just in the background. Glenn Close did it once for the Emmys years ago. But it's always kind of somebody just kind of just talking in the background.
Got it.
They say things as the winner walks to the stage. This is the seventh time that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has won Veep, you know.
Yeah.
But
you
this guy,
do it.
I can do it. But this guy was so distracting.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
He was set up at a DJ table, like right off the stage. And so you did see him. They would cut to him every now and then, and it was so awkward. Like, you could just feel
especially when you have a host.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, well, who is this now?
I was just thinking, we should look up his name and then look at if there's a producer on the Emmys that has the same last name. Because I can guarantee you that's how he got the job.
Or
just being a bitter buddy. I don't know. That's why I get invited to the party.
Or he just came cheap. I don't know.
What
were some things that stood out to you? Any big wins or snubs? For me, I have a few, but I want to know what you think.
Well, there was the guy who got played off.
Sterling K. Brown. Yeah. I was pissed.
Me too.
Because they let Nicole Kidman rant for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And what she said was very valuable. It was like, we're bringing light to domestic violence. Like, if you watch the show, if you support it, thank you. But Sterling K. Brown equally should have had as much time for his big win. And they just...
Well, did you see that they, when he went in the stew room, right? One of the reporters said, would you like to finish? And I thought that was
classy.
That was classy. I was so glad that somebody did that and he did take the opportunity to finish. Right. He said... But it never should have happened.
No, they should have just given him.
And he said, as they were playing, about, you didn't play through that loud for so and so. He said it as it was like
a Maxine Waters. I'm reclaiming my time.
That's right.
He was a highlight for me. His win, because I love him on that show, and I loved him when he was in the People versus OJ. I mean, he was fantastic in that.
So good.
So he was one of the few that I was really excited about. I loved Big Little Lies, but I was surprised they got that much.
I didn't watch.
But everyone loved HBO. I was obsessed.
It was so well done.
For me, Veep, I know the show's been on so many times, but it's so good. The show is so good. And Julia Dreyfus is a master.
And Tony Hale.
And Tony Hale. But every single person on that show is so good. But, I mean, she won again for Best Actress, too. It's like, she is really good. She is that good.
Yeah.
Her facial expressions, the way she contorts her body, things always happen to her character all the time.
But just put it in its own category. Like, okay, here's Veep, and then here's the regular comedy.
Right, exactly.
And then here's their award.
I thought Feud was probably overlooked a lot.
I was really surprised, especially
because it's about the business and everybody loves the
But here's the thing. The a lot of times when actresses are especially when the actress category, when they're nominated against each other, you just cancel each other out, comes voter time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they'll just kind of cancel them out and go for somebody else. So I saw that happening. Like, they're both nominated. Almost all the time that happens, the votes get split somehow, and someone else wins.
Yeah.
Rarely does one person win over the other on a show.
Although Sterling did beat Milo, which broke my heart, but I understood.
Because him and also the guy who played his father, real father, got supporting actress nomination.
Oh, yeah.
Their scenes were really
great.
Good. They were really
so
good.
Great.
They were really good.
This show last week tonight, it won for a variety series and writing for variety series. I never looked at it. Is it that good? I love it.
It's one of my favorites because it's such an interesting form. It's like a 20-minute monologue that John Oliver has to deliver like flawlessly. And a lot of other shows like Samantha Bee, which I also love, it like cuts away, it does field piece. Like, I think it's a different medium and it's so strong to have like a 20-page monologue. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's.
I've heard you love it.
Yeah.
I don't get his appeal. Maybe I need to watch the show.
I go up and down. I used to really like him, and then some. I don't know.
He was on Daily Show. Did you watch Daily Show?
Not really.
That's why. I think I liked him because I have seen him, like, you know, like.
Progress.
Yeah. Same with Colbert. Colbert was on Daily Show. Now look at him posting Emmys.
I think a show that really got snubbed. It's a show that I'm telling people you need to run, not walk, and watch the show. It's called You're the Worst. It's on FXX. It's in its fourth season. And I want to name the four stars in it. Aya Cash, Desmond Borges, Heather Donahue, and Chris Gere. They are so perfect together. And Stephen Falk, who writes, directs, casted the series, produced it. It's dark. It's funny. It's shocking. It talks about depression, mental health, sex, Los Angeles. I mean, it's one of those unique things on television. And no nominations. This show is so, so good. And I was like... And I mean, it's hilarious, and it's like, it's shocking. It's all these great things at once, but I it should be nominated. It's called You're the Worst.
I felt that way about Fleabag, too. But it's Amazon. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She wrote this one-woman show as a play, and then it got adapted into this TV series, and it's so dark and so funny. Wow. I've also heard, like, nothing but great things about You're the Worst.
You're the Worst is so good.
But I felt like Fleabag got snubbed, and people weren't really talking about that either.
I felt that One Mississippi got snubbed, too. Tig Notaro is so good.
Oh, she's great.
The show is so funny. It's called One Mississippi, and I forgot what network or what streaming service it's on. But Tig Notaro, she had cancer. She was a writer, had cancer, comedy writer, had cancer. And now the show is based kind of on her life, loosely based. And the first season is hilarious, but it's also really real. And she's it's really good. Another one I think got, she should have got nominations for writing and acting.
Yeah. I don't know. I get a little annoyed with the same people nominated for the same things. You know, it was like it was a lot of HBO. SNL did pretty well, given that it was such a big year, I guess, to highlight that. Mm-hmm. Which some could argue that, you know, maybe they were a little overexposed. I don't know.
I would agree with that 100%. Yeah. Well, I was looking through it, you know, when you sent the links and everything of all the nominees and everything and all these SNL stuff. And I'm like, I don't ever remember SNL being nominated for things.
Yeah.
I don't remember them ever winning things. I mean, I'm not putting down SNL because I do watch it and I do enjoy it. But I'm sorry. I feel like I'm being a bitter Betty all the time. But it's just that whole thing where I feel like, was it because they deserved it or because the Emmys wanted to make a statement?
But then it's
about what they're saying on SNL. That's how, in my head, I'm like, well, of course they did, because they want to blow smoke up their butt.
Then it was so undercut by normalizing Sean Spicer.
Exactly. I was just going to say the same thing, too.
I was so upset about that, because the show was very political. I thought a little bit too political for, especially CBS, which is like, you know, white dude network central. You're really going to do all this political stuff.
Right.
And then you just bring him out and everyone laughs. Yeah. I hated it so much.
Yeah. They cut the Marissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Like, oh. She was like, oh no. She knew she knew it was bad.
Yeah.
No, the telecast in and of itself was not very good. The whole thing. I didn't mind
it so much. I give it like a B minus. I thought Stephen Colbert, I liked his opening song. I thought he did halfway decent. What he had to work with.
I think it's what you said. I think it's a very self-indulgent opportunity for the elite of Hollywood to pat themselves on the back and tell each other how great they are and make their political statements. You know, I'm with the daytime Emmys, you know, because we do the daytime soap operas and stuff, I get to see some of the reels that, you know, that you don't normally get to see for these people. And you watch them, and there's some that are just mind-blowingly good.
You're like, wow.
And then the person that wins, you're like, oh, did I even watch their reel? Like, it's so...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But for some reason, that person... You know, and it's like, even with the Oscars, you know, like, oh, well, she deserved it, but they're going to give it to her because she deserved it 5 years ago and we didn't give it to her then. So we're, well, why don't you just give it to someone who deserves it?
Yes.
And then we don't have to play this game all the time.
Of catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I don't enjoy awards.
Exactly. And that's why I get hot and I... Why we come here and we drink champagne and complain.
But I do want to talk to Isabel. I want to know, what was your experience like for the was it the pre-show?
It was the pre-show. It was all the pages got asked to do the E! Live from the red carpet countdown. And it was a lot about, like, the fashion that they were wearing. The Stranger Things kids came out. They were so cute. Everyone but Millie Bobby Brown, and that, like, was a little sad, but all the boys were so funny, because they were, like, you know, just teenage boys.
Just good actors.
They couldn't, like, follow directions at first. It was so funny. If you watch it, like, just specifically watch that part. Yeah. It's so good. And then a couple cast members from 13 Reasons Why came, and that was really fun, too, because I love that show. I know there's a ton of controversy around it, but I really enjoyed it. And so, yeah, we were in the audience watching them discuss who's going to win, who they want to win, kind of like this, but, you know, beforehand.
Yeah.
It was really fun, though, to see all the red carpet stuff. And we were sitting on the red carpet, too, which was super exciting. Yeah. So I loved it. I loved
it. That's what a great experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's take a look at some new fall TV shows, stuff that's coming out on network, and what we're feeling and what we're really hating. Let's just lay it down.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
Let's put it this way. What television shows will we acknowledge, and which ones won't we acknowledge?
JKL makes you want to vomit.
Oh, looks so bad.
You're taking Linda Lavin, who was Alice when I was growing up. I mean, Alice. And you're putting in some, this looks like this formulaic mother being overbearing, family.
What show is this?
9JKL.
Oh, okay.
Let's get into it, kids. You said, let's start ranting now.
Yeah.
Bitches. Yep. I can't.
Can we say that?
You say bitches?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You say bitches.
But let's read.
Can I get a list of words I can say?
9JKL. Well, I'm trying to find the.
Mark Feuerstein is the lead.
And it's the guy from.
He's on
the show. What was the guy from? Oh, gosh.
Royal Pains.
Yeah, Royal Pains.
Yes. So a family comedy inspired by the time Mark, the guy in Royal Pains, in his adult life, when he lived in an apartment 9JK in the building he grew up in, sandwiched between his parents in apartment 9J and his brother and sister-in-law in their baby's apartment 9L, and his attempts to set boundaries with his intrusive but well-meaning family.
Pick another title.
I know.
That's the worst so title. Awful.
What is the markability of this title?
It's so funny because there's a billboard on Pico, and I drive up and down Pico a lot. I'm not telling you where I live, people, but off Pico, which is long. Yes. And I, every time I would drive by, I kept trying to read the billboard, and I'm like, "What does that say? 9 what?"
Yeah.
And every time, and I don't know because where it is, and I not stopped. I was going, "I don't know what that says." So when I got your email about the show, I was like, "Oh, that's what that says."
Yes. Well, my initials are close to that, so I kept seeing. Oh. So I'm JHL.
Okay.
I kept going, JK. My friend was like, "I was seeing 9JHL." I kept thinking I was seeing that, and then I saw, oh, like this. And I looked at, like, all the actors I like. George Segal, everybody knows it. Mark Feuerstein, I just watched him do the reboot of Prison Break. He played a bad guy. He was really good in it. I never saw him in a role that was like a bad guy role. He was really good.
Right.
The scene's like, this looks so smaltzy and just really horrible.
Yeah. Yep.
It looks horrible.
I thought it was a license plate thing. I thought it was.
Yeah,
like,
I
don't
know
what
it was. That's why I said I kept going, I don't know.
Well,
what
it reminded
that
me
means.
Of Don't Trust a Bee in Apartment 23.
But that was good.
I love that show.
I love that show so much.
You see what I'm saying? But they just, I think they want to do something like apartment life.
Yes. Speaking of ripoffs,
yes.
I think that this might be a stretch, but I think Me, Myself, and I. Is CBS trying to do a This Is Us, but make it a comedy and less good?
I agree.
Like, I think that's exactly, like, the generational thing.
Yes.
Like, but it's not good.
It looks horrible. Again, the two older actors, of course, I love, John Larroquette and Bobby Moynihan.
Yes.
But it doesn't look as horrible.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because TV Line did a poll for which comedies and which dramas you're most and least interested in. And Me, Myself, and I on CBS is the one voted least interested in by the public.
That's the fact. It's not. It doesn't look interesting at all. People have been hating on Ghosted, but I think it looks really funny.
That doesn't appeal to me at all.
There were so many that I just was like,
yeah,
so
Ghosted. Ghosted is about is a single camera comedy. A cynical skeptic and a genius, a true believer in the paranormal, are recruited by the Bureau of Underground to look into the rampant unexplained activity in LA, all while uncovering a larger mystery that could threaten the existence of the human race. I'm out.
But like, don't you
interested.
I just want to hear Craig Robinson and Adam Scott banter about ghosts. I would listen to that every week for half an hour. That's
every
fine.
Every week. I think maybe once or 20 minutes.
That's fine.
Now, for me, because I was on season 4 of House with Hugh Laurie, Good Doctor sounds like a ripoff of that.
Well, and that's what Same I research, was reading, one of the things that you sent, and that's what they were saying. But as Freddie Highmore's president of his friggin' fan club, I adore, like, you don't understand.
We loved you, loved
you. Freddie Highmore is just,
I was on
he's one of the most amazing actors.
She's like baseball talent.
And you know that, FYI, a little fun fact, Johnny Depp only agreed to do
that movie.
Finding Neverland if they cast Freddie Highmore as the boy.
Yeah.
No, sorry. He wouldn't do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory without Freddie Highmore because they had just done Finding Neverland.
Yes.
And he said, I will only do it if he's playing Charlie.
I knew that.
Wow, I didn't.
He is just. I will watch it 100 times over just because of Freddie Highmore.
I was on Olympic and Westwood last night, and they had like a two-way stop with two billboards for that show facing one another. Like it's beyond overkill right here in LA with these TV ads.
Yes.
I mean, they're not advertising anything else on billboards besides these network shows over and over. And now they're even on the same street corner.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody. one of my friends in Ohio or Florida, somebody not in California, and I said something about a show, and they're like, what show? And I was like, how do you not know? It's on all the billboards. And they're like, well, not here. It's not on the billboards.
I want to know. I'm going to give it a shot. But James, I want to know, are you going to look at Dynasty on the CW?
Okay. Okay.
I know.
Here's
I thought of you too.
No, here's the deal. So, okay, of course, I'm a little older than everybody here in the room. And
not
I watched
that
Dynasty.
Much older than me.
Yeah. So, well, did you watch Dynasty back in the day?
Not regularly. I did watch it.
Well,
but
you know, we're about 5 year age difference. Sometimes when you go backwards, it does make a difference. You go backwards, and so I mean, I watched Dynasty all these year high in high school. I loved it. I thought, and as an adult too, I loved it. This one looks actually interesting to me. I'm really hard. I mean, the Dallas reboot sucked.
Yep.
I was so upset when they ruined it.
I tried with that show.
Oh, I watched all three seasons and was angry every week. Except for the JR episode when Larry Hagman died. It was beautifully done. But this one looks interesting. The Latina girl in the lead and Grant Shoa is in it for Melrose Place. I mean, it actually looks interesting. So I'm going to watch the first episode. And if it catches me, because when 90210 came back, I actually liked the first season of it.
I loved it.
I liked it. And when Melrose Place came back, it had potential. It didn't last for one season.
Yeah.
They had, Katie Cassidy, shout out to her. She was a good Amanda-like person from Melrose Place. Yeah. So this one, the girls look really good. And it's a gay character, also doing all this stuff. I'm curious to see what it's going to... I'm going to watch the first episode and see what I think.
I think I'm going to look at it for sure.
Yeah.
I need something new to watch.
Okay.
Well, but here's the thing. It's not new.
This
is what I get. So, and I was thinking about this on the way here about... It's like when we watched Dynasty, what made Dynasty was... amazing actors, amazing, like, you know what I mean? Like, you wanted to tune in and watch them. Hollywood now tries to take what worked, and now we're going to try and make these people the stars that those people were.
Yeah.
No, they were, that's why they were stars.
Right.
And the people, even today, even when they try to jam stuff down your throat, you'll be the only one that gets that. Just making me, putting it on TV, to me, isn't making you a star.
Right.
It's putting you on TV. It's getting you a paycheck, but that doesn't make you.
That's why I liked Desperate Housewives because it was kind of a take on Knott's Landing, but it was different.
It was its own thing.
It was its own thing. But basically, it was Knott's Landing updated in a sense.
Okay.
But it was five women. Where Knott's Landing was a few women, a couple of men. It was a cul-de-sac whole thing. But it was like it took something that did happen before, but he updated it a bit, gave it a twist.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw with you. I'm like, that was something new, so to speak.
Yeah.
So do you see that in Dynasty?
In the previews I've seen, yes.
Okay.
But I want to say one thing. It's not on this list. They're redoing Heathers as a TV show, and Heathers is my favorite movie of all time.
Love Heathers.
It looks horrible.
Well, you lost me at redo.
Yeah. So it's
like
horrible.
TV Land?
Can I just say, what people complain about in the movies of, oh, it's another sequel, it's another reboot. That's now happening to TV.
And everything.
Right.
It's going to burst.
MacGyver.
You know?
Yes.
Like, everything.
I can't believe MacGyver.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That really?
Yeah.
Really? This is, I just,
So what about you, Isabel? What are you looking at? Or what's going on?
I think Rise is going to be phenomenal, partially because I've already watched the pilot when I was at Universal Television. But
let's read what it is.
Okay.
For people.
Centers on a high school drama teacher and a family man whose passion for the program and his students galvanizes the entire working class town. Based on Michael
Sokolov.
Thank you. Book Drama High, which itself is based on real life drama teacher Lou Vogler. It was so good. It was like Friday Night Lights and then a darker version of Glee.
Yeah.
It's like if someone just told me that, which they did at the time, I was like, sold, can I watch it? And it was so heartfelt, and it didn't, like, yes, it does feel kind of Friday Night Lights in tone, but it didn't feel like it was ripping it off at all. And it just felt like a breath of fresh air, like, thank you for not making a reboot. Thank you for making something original. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I can't wait to watch that whole season. It looks so amazing.
I saw the pilot and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It exceeded my expectations. I don't care for shows that take place in small towns, though. like Riverdale, that show does nothing.
You're losing a whole demographic.
Exactly.
Our listeners now, Grant, take that back.
I love the small town thing. I
love showing up in small towns like, girl, what the hell?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't even do
I feel
it
like
for
it, you
me.
Know,
I mean, I enjoy the show. I'm going to look at it. You know, It's fine.
But, like, L.A. gets the whole liberal coastal elite title all the time. And I feel like if we make these small town shows, it's either we make small town shows or army stuff. And I'd rather take a small town show over this. Crazy. Like, all of TV slate is, like, army, Navy,
SEAL. It's all NBC.
Yeah.
It's all NBC.
Why are we doing this?
Or CBS.
Yeah. Why are we doing this?
It's all, like, literally, like, I'm so glad you said that. Because I was reading these going... No,
SWAT,
done.
SEAL
yeah,
team.
I'm like, no, what? I don't.
And you, have, NCIS already on it. It's Los Angeles.
Yeah. Three. So many.
The other one that I was going to say that I don't know much about it other than what you wrote on here. Now, let me see.
10 Days in the Valley.
Yeah, if I can find it.
Oh, 10 Days
here.
In the Valley.
I like Kira Sedgwick's song.
And it's on Fox, so which doesn't surprise me that it piqued my interest. The L.A. to Vegas.
Okay, yeah.
Which to me, and well, Grant, you might know this reference as well. JLJ will know what I'm talking about. But I said it almost seemed Love Boat-esque.
I love Love Boat.
Because of the way it was written. I mean, that's the descriptor. I don't know what the show's about. It says a single camera ensemble workplace comedy about a group of underdogs trying to find their place in the world, set on the Friday night flight from LAX to Vegas and the returning flight on Sunday. Who all share the same goal, to come back a winner in a casino of life.
Yes, of course.
So is it taking place on the plane?
Yeah.
Right. A little bit. In the, for what I saw, yeah.
Okay.
So I've done that flight many times, both flights many times.
Yeah. I mean, some I remember, some I don't. But
I like a good workplace comedy.
It just sounded like, is this, you know, Love Boat? They get on the boat. They've got, you know, these things, and then all this transpires.
Right,
and here's
because
how
on the Friday, usually flights to Vegas on Fridays, you're drinking already.
Yeah.
They're already getting you drinking, getting you liquor. The flight attendants are happy. No, seriously, I love Friday flights to Vegas. And then Sunday, everybody's somber. Mm-hmm. You lost all that money. It's stupid. A pin drop. It's like, it's
that'd be
hungover.
A fun bumper for the end of the episode. It's like everyone all hungover.
Yes, exactly.
Also, like, okay, do you guys like The Wedding Singer?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I feel like this could be the one crazy scene of Adam Sandler going to go get Drew Barrymore in Vegas, like where the whole plane is in on it and all the hijinks.
Oh,
like, that's what I pictured this show as, like, super fun and light and kind of bubbly.
Yeah.
Could totally see it.
Rise and LAX to Vegas were the only two, other than The Good Doctor, which I, you know, for obvious reasons.
I mean, it looks good.
But as far as comedies go, according to this TV Line poll, Young Sheldon is the one viewers are most interested
in. We'll watch
it, so. No,
I've heard so many people say they want nothing to do with it, so that actually kind of surprised me when I saw that.
Because Big Bang Theory is so big, I guess that's why people are going to watch it, probably.
Although, I think Big Bang Theory would have been better if it was a single cam. Like, if you read the pilot, you're like, this could be really funny as, you know, not a multicam.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I think that's what they maybe realized with this. Like, there's kind of heart to it. But maybe, I don't know. That's my only thought for that. Because Lorne Michaels, he doesn't do single camera comedies. It's all multicam for him. You know?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, according to this poll, the dramas people are most interested in is the show The Gifted on Fox. Doesn't appeal to me at all.
No.
Family goes on the run to protect mutant kids from hunters.
You say mutant?
I'm out.
And then The Good Doctor comes in at second place.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot about that, so that could be.
Although the one thing I read did say what you said,
that they felt like
it was a spinoff of House.
So I've already seen that already.
But I don't know. I'm gonna give it to Freddie Highmore because I think he's worth it.
Yeah. And then the one least interesting to people is Valor on the CW. Elite helicopter pilots grow closer during perilous army missions.
Yeah.
Hold
on. This is not the audience for Valor, SWAT,
right.
The Brave.
Yes. You know, SWAT does feature Hot Man, who gets hot, who stays hot every year, who played on Malcolm Winters on Young and the Restless, and he was on Criminal Minds. Shamar Moore, he's hot.
The other one that there was one more that stood out to me, and it actually only stood out to me until I realized somebody on the show, The Good Girls.
Oh, yeah.
I've with seen. My girl, Retta, yeah. is on there. Yeah, so yes. I don't, it's, when I read it, the descriptor, I was like, oh, okay. And then I looked to see who was in it, and I was like, Retta's in it? I'm committed 100% if Retta's in it. So I did give my Retta a shout out.
I did see a cut of that, and it's really interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's like putting housewives not in the passive position, but like very active. Like, yeah. let's go do some stuff.
Well, I'm sorry. I know we haven't talked about it, but the show that's, it's new, but it's not new, but it's new. It's Will and Grace. I'm so excited it's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy. I mean, I literally cried when I saw they were there.
Oh.
That's a show that my favorite shows of all time. So I'm it's very great.
I don't think it will disappoint.
Have you seen
it? I heard everyone saying that
because everybody's back holding the writers.
They're keeping it on lockdown, so I couldn't watch any cuts of it or anything. Okay. It's insane. Like, I couldn't read any script.
I saw the first one, and it was good. It picked up pretty much as it should be. Like, they covered all the bases with the first act, and then they keep it moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was good. I recommend
it. They changed it, though. Like,
they're going back to where there's no kids.
They address
all that. I don't fault them for that, because they thought it was done. Like,
they do it in a very cute way.
Dream season. They wrote a whole season as a dream to bring Bobby back. So.
Well, Roseanne.
And Roseanne,
the whole thing was supposed to be a dream.
Yeah, that's coming back. Yeah,
I'm down for Roseanne.
Me too. Me too. I can't wait also.
The last show I want to discuss before we keep it moving is the show on ABC. You know, ABC and I, we don't click with programming.
Uh-oh. Not a Shonda fan?
I never could take to her shows. I like her. I just could never take to her shows. It's just not my thing. But this show, The Mayor, it looks so boring.
I heard actually it's really good.
You know, Lea Michele, who just really doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
She's in it. Yvette Nicole Brown, I like
her. I love
her. Love
Trinity. The Hollywood Reporter says that the show has potential, and they praise Brandon Michael Hall as the lead.
Yes.
But it's about an outspoken, idealistic rapper who runs for office as a publicity stunt, actually gets elected.
Too real.
He surprises everyone, including himself, when he has a natural knack for the job and slowly transforms City Hall.
Well,
not at all anything I would watch.
No. I'm interested. See, I'm not a fan of CBS comedies. I'm a fan of ABC comedies. I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I like some ABC comedies, but I think ABC is in a mess.
Yeah.
I
love Life in Pieces. The show is so good. It's four parts. Every single actor is so good. To me, it needs to take Modern Family and get off the air. This show totally doesn't.
Thank you.
But yeah, Modern Family
has run its course.
It's run its course. This show is fresh. It's new. They're hilarious. Diane Weiss is my girl.
Yes.
But it's such a good show. It's in four parts. This season, they're doing one that's in 12 parts. I'm very excited how they do that. Mm-hmm. But I like that show and Mom on CBS, and that's it. I don't really like CBS shows, comedies. I like ABC comedies.
Yeah.
They're much lighter and brighter for me or something.
Well, when we return, we're going to be taking a look at The Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 10 trailer. We're going to give our thoughts on that. And then we're going to take a look at returning fall network shows. That and more good stuff coming up. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Mark, James, and Isabel. And we're going to be taking a look at The Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 10 trailer. We all saw it.
Yes.
And now we're going to share our thoughts on it. Other than it looking crazy, there are a few things. Of course, we've talked about it on this show. NeNe and Kim are coming back. And how do we feel about this return? These two returns.
You go first.
I love NeNe. It's okay that she's coming back, right, guys? That's fine. Mm. Everyone hates her. I know.
I like her. I have no feeling about it. I like her.
But... Why is everyone so against her?
Because NeNe thought she was better than this show. Yeah. She thought she was better than Bravo. So now we have to extend this invitation.
She's so quotable. I just live
but quotable from Bravo.
Yes.
Right?
I know. She has to work within the medium she's given. I don't know. I love her.
No, here's the thing. I'm with this about, I know I love me some Lalithia Leakes. and I love me some Kim Sulzyak Beerman. I get both. Kim has her own spinoff, which is doing really well. Don't be tardy.
So
I'm like, why come back? And then NeNe, to me, she's starting to have a career. I don't care what he says. I like New Normal. I like that show. I loved it. I thought she was really great on it as Rocky. She's also done Broadway. She's like doing other things. I'm thinking, good for you, girl. Go out and do something. To me, it reminds me of Bethany from New York, Bethany Frankel. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Bethany fan. I thought she shouldn't come back to the Housewives. Just because your talk show tanked doesn't mean you go back to where you once came from.
Right.
You're already doing well. Already got momentum started out, already outside. I feel like you graduated. Nene, you graduated from the show. Kim, you graduated from the show. Mm-hmm. The comeback seems desperate because, I'm going to say this, I don't care. You can save your tweets, I don't care. The show was boring after they left. After they left. Last season was boring.
Yeah.
And the season before that, when Kim Fields came on, was boring also. They both were boring.
Well, that season wasn't a good one with Kim Fields. But I'm very entertained by Atlanta.
They're boring. To me, it's a shell of what it former was, what it used to be, I think. But it's a long-time show, which shows go through those years where it's not the best.
Look, Nene, you were on the new normal that was on in 2012. So time has passed.
But she's just Cinderella and other things. I mean, I feel like they should just keep going. But of course, like Isabelle, I'll be watching the season because I like both those people. Yeah. I'm gonna end up watching the season, of course.
Yeah. I would probably watch it just for her.
Me too.
You know? Here.
Really?
For Nene?
Yeah.
It looks like it's gonna be Nene versus Portia. And then it looks like that Kim's gonna pick up Portia as a number, as an ally for the show. And Kim is very thrown off by Nene. I think in the promo she calls her like the devil or something like that. She's channeling the devil or something. So are they going to be off again now after all these years of them being friends again?
I have a question for you, Grant. Why? Because you know how things work, production, right? You know how things are behind the scenes. Why do you still like watching the show?
Why do I still like watching the show?
Knowing, you know things, Maya. You know how things work.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always say I have to analyze the show that's given to me and then know what's going on. You know, so, like, I have to kind of just view it for what it is.
Yeah.
This show in particular, like New York, there's just, to me, there's enough going on to keep me entertained. Okay. Where something like Beverly Hills, it's all 25 episodes are based on a rumor. Like, that's exhausting.
That is very true.
Love Beverly Hills.
Me too, so do I. But you're right. It is all based on a rumor, usually. Yeah.
So, but at least these people have things going on, or they make it look like they have things going on. Like, I love watching Kenya Moore pull a stunt every season that everyone can see through. It's very entertaining to see like what she's going to say and do that clearly is for the cameras. And now OC is kind of going in that direction for me, which is kind of sad.
I gave up on them.
Really? Yeah. Officially done with OC?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Says the girl from the OC.
I know. It's too close to home.
I give credit to those that tune into the AfterBuzz OC after show. Yeah. I mean, you know, of course, you can tell the tone is very negative because we get a lot of negative comments. Some good ones too. But more than usual because I think people are just so frustrated with the show. They like, need to take it out.
Which shows do you do a Real Housewives? You don't do all of them. So which ones
almost
do you do?
All of them.
Oh, you do almost all of them?
No, yeah. I mean, right now it's Beverly. I don't know if I'm doing New Jersey. I haven't said anything, but right now I'm doing Dallas and OC at the same time, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
So how is New Dallas Jersey's going? Coming.
Dallas is giving me what OC isn't. Dallas is very good.
Okay. That's a quote right
let's
there.
Let's see if anyone's really listening to this show. They'll never let me go on New York Housewives. And that's fine. I don't need to be jumping on every show. And I don't do it. Atlanta's like 35 weeks, kids.
Yeah,
like, I can't commit to that. That's over half a year. That's too much. You know what I mean? That's way too much. So, and then Beverly Hills, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens coming up. But as far as Atlanta goes, Atlanta is my watch at home show. Okay. Like, I like to put that on. Like, I'd like to, believe it or not, I enjoy watching Housewives on my own and not having to, like, write a blog, a review, or after show for it. So this is my, like, one show to really watch. Mark, what about you? Do you watch Atlanta?
No, I value my brain cells too much. I don't watch any of the Housewives. I did watch, hold on, take it back. I watched DC.
Okay, that's one
when
season.
It was on.
That
it was one only season. One season.
Yeah,
right?
One season.
It's like a deep cut.
And I only watched it because of the drama with the woman going to the White House. So I wanted to see how that unfolded. So that's mostly why I watched it.
That's cool.
And then I did try to watch
Miami.
No, I tried to watch Beverly Hills when my girl Lisa and my girl Eileen Davidson joined the show because I'm a Days of Our Lives fan, obviously. And Billy Reed, who Lisa Rinna played on Days of Our Lives, is one of my all-time favorite characters. So I was like, oh, I have to watch. I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to watch. I think I made it through the episode when I think they met, like they spoke together on like the second episode of the season. Yeah. So the first season, the first season that Lisa was, and they were on, Lisa was on the first episode, then the second episode was Lisa, and then she meets Eileen for a coffee or something. So I watched those two episodes, and I just remember sitting on my couch, and I could hear the brain cells in my head popping, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't.
That was so funny.
I just couldn't. It was heartbreaking for me because I think they were both so, and I think they're both great actors. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a step down. Why would you want to do right. this? Like, right. I don't understand. I mean, I guess it has its following. And again, in Hollywood, right. it's about the numbers game and you want yeah. followers and you want
yeah.
this and that. And the Housewives people are, you know, like soap fans, you know, they're
they are,
passionate.
They are, yeah, yeah.
So I get it. You're developing your brand and you want to sell your clothes, Lisa Rinna, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't
well,
have a clothes brand.
Did go out of business,
but I just yes. I can't. It's like those people that we don't like to talk about. I can't.
They should not be named.
Those like people will not K's. Be named.
Yeah,
lots of K's in their names.
Yeah. So it looks like Sheree is canoodling with someone in prison. Did Kenya Moore marry a fan? Yeah. I was really hoping this whole storyline with Kenya wouldn't be who's the husband and how did it happen, but it looks like that's all that's going on.
I'm glad Sheree came back. That's one person I'm glad came back.
Oh, I
ago.
Love Sheree.
Me too. And so, who gonna check me boo years ago is my saying. I loved it. And I just love that she doesn't care. That's why I like her. And so, her thing to me would be interesting because she wasn't actually that crazy the last couple of seasons. She wasn't really crazy.
Yeah.
She's like kind of halfway normal, just like whatever. Her and Kenya always going back and forth is kind of fun. But Kenya, I'm just like, it's always about men, isn't it? It's always about, are they real or fake?
Yeah.
That's always her storyline. Mm-hmm. Is that your real boyfriend or you hired a boyfriend? Like, and she, it just, it's...
Do people do that?
I'm sure they do. I'm pretty yeah. sure. I'm sure they do.
People...
I'm surprised.
These shows, I said this recently at AfterBuzz, the show isn't around their life. The show is their
yes.
life.
Yes. Right.
That's the problem.
This is why I only trust Lisa Vanderpump, because I feel like she's so busy, she can't manufacture crazy stuff. I feel
oh,
like it's...
Oh, Lord.
It's just,
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, I know.
I think she's the fakest of them all.
Oh, she's so funny.
But I met her several times. She was so nice to me.
Oh, I met her a few times. She was awful.
Oh, really? She was great. She was nice to me.
I don't have any desire to...
philanthropy. I'm all about that.
I know. She was nice.
I'm sure she does a lot of great things, but as a character, I don't know.
You it's probably good. Know more than I do, yeah. but...
So let's take a look at some returning television yes. shows coming back to the networks this fall. What are we excited about? What are we looking at? And I'm telling you, there's one on this show, one on this list that I am disgusted by. So let's talk about it.
I want to start with
I
that.
Want to
I know.
I'll tease it. Let's go.
I can't wait for the Goldbergs. Oh my God, Beverly Goldberg is my... dream, I actually tweeted her this one day. My dream is a sitcom with her and, Ty Burrell as husband and wife.
Because
they are the two funniest people on television right now. I am so sorry. I'm looking forward to Modern Family because I do like the show. And last season I thought, ugh, is it going to be funny? And it was. I mean, maybe not as what it was and maybe not where I thought they were going to take the characters. But I'm interested to see what is going to happen with Modern Family.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of the Goldbergs.
I literally,
Goldbergs is one of the only sitcoms that makes me literally laugh out loud. Laugh out loud. Like, not just smile, not go, that was funny. But like,
Do you have a favorite drama?
Well, I do. I'm getting to the point though. It may have run its course. My SVU.
Oh, okay.
Because it is coming back.
I didn't think that could run its course.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like I'm just seeing a lot of the same with you know, the same storyline with different character names.
Yeah.
So it'll be. I will watch, obviously, but.
What about Menendez?
I do. I'm looking forward to that as well.
I feel like that's like putting new life into that, you know,
yeah.
brand.
Franchise.
It'll
be interesting to see how they kind of tweak it to make it.
Before we talk about what we really don't want to watch, what we're not excited about, let's just keep it. Let's keep it positive for 5 minutes.
Okay,
I'm ready.
He's
not
put off telling us when
I know.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
We're not gonna let him forget.
Okay.
My favorite comedy is The Good Place.
I know you talked about that on the show.
They changed everything.
Is phenomenal.
Is that the one, the spinoff of The Good Wife?
No.
The Good Place is with
Ted Danson.
Got it.
That reveal at the end was really interesting.
I Love it. No spoilers.
Yeah,
for
don't
Grant,
tell me yet because I'm watching it.
I'm just saying, I think everyone on the writing staff is so talented, and they're all like, just if you follow any of their Twitters, like it's perfect writing. And the show's just so different, and I'm still in disbelief they got it on a network.
Yes,
because it's so dark and weird, and like. I love it, though. Like, I can't say enough good things about it. I think Mike Schur is, like, the best writer ever.
The Good Place is very bingeable. That's how I've been watching
it. Yeah, because they're really good about the cliffhanger. So, of course, okay, let's next one, load it up. Oh, my God. Is it noticeable? I work at NBC. The other one that I love for dramas, This Is Us.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think that got snubbed for best show because... It connected so many people who were, like, different generations, differently political beliefs, religious beliefs, like, all my friends that, same like, here. You know, like, we all just, there was something in it that felt so real.
True.
That everyone just...
Totally my grandmother, which rest in peace, who died last month, my mother, and myself, and my daughter. So four generations, we love the show.
Yes.
We talk about it.
That's something to pay attention to.
It is.
And I don't understand how that didn't win Best Series, but that's okay. That's the show I'm so excited about because I want to know how.
Well, big thing is, of course.
He died.
Yeah, the whole thing is like Milo Ventimiglia's character dies, of course. Yes. Everybody's like, how's he going to die? What's going to happen? I'm like, that's kind of half the fun to see.
There's also just these sweet, real moments that are so specific, like Mandy Moore walking barefoot to try to make a cake for Jack's birthday. She goes to, like, a gas station shop, and she gets a Twinkie, and she's going to do stuff. Like, it's so specific, but so relatable, and, like, you can't remake that.
But it's even the big moments, like, you know, Thanksgiving. And homeboy finds out that his mother knew the father, and, like, letters, and it's like... And Mandy Moore is so good. Who knew Mandy Moore was that good? Who knew she was that good? Oh. I mean, she was an okay singer.
Yeah.
Candy or whatever she had that song.
Love her, though.
But she's so good at this. It's like, and Tony K. Brown, of course, is like this phenomenal. Just, I can watch her read the phone book.
Fantastic. There are some actors I just love to watch act. Yes. Or even sometimes we pay attention to the context of the scene. It's just nice to see the acting.
Yes,
I love his scenes with Beth. Like, just their marriage is so healthy and, like, positive, and I feel like we get so many anti-heroes and so many guys that just suck on TV. Yeah. Like, Don Draper. I love Don Draper, but he sucks. And, like, to have, like, a positive male role model is so, like, it's just so refreshing.
I agree with that. Yeah. And for me, because I'm black, a positive black real
of
model.
Of course, yes.
And black family.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's really we should need to see that more and more, too.
Totally.
That even though he's flawed, there's flaws in there, but he's a real strong man.
Yes, love it. That.
What about you, James?
For me, I already mentioned Will and Grace, of course, Life and Pieces, but Empire. No one's mentioned Empire. I love Empire. I think season three is last season. They added Felicia Rashad on it as a rival family. Her and Taye Diggs are a rival family. It's so good. The best another snub for me was Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard as Lucius Lyon and Cookie Lyon. Should have been nominated hands down. This season they had some really emotional, strong, dramatic, real moments on the show. And they work so well together. And, of course, Cookie's my girl. She has the best lines on television. I mean, I just think she's so good. But I think the show really found its footing again. Because it kind of lost its footing for a little bit. It found it again. Now setting up, like, rival families, classic kind of soap stuff. Rival families, both black, but universal in tone.
Mm-hmm.
And also the show is very Dallas to me.
I was just going to say, it sounds kind of soapy like
Terrence Howard's J.R. Ewing, in a sense, and the kids are like, they're the different people like Bobby and this and that and Chris. It follows that format.
I love that soaps are coming back into more mainstream TV. Like, same with Jane the Virgin. It's so soapy, but it's so good.
Yes.
So Empire's on my list, and I literally have it here with a question mark. Do I continue with the show? Because I dropped it, and I never dropped a series, but I dropped it halfway through last season because I just could not connect.
It got better. No, it got better. That's the whole thing. You had to commit. It got better.
Okay.
Even my brother came back. It was like, it was bad for a while. But I think they couldn't find it. They didn't know what they wanted to do. Then when they added Felicia Rashad's character on as the bougie kind of black woman, and Cookie's still street, it's like, but they both were powerful. They made that family as powerful as the Lions. That upped the whole ante.
Okay. All right. Because, yeah, I was struggling with
that. It was bad.
I want to love it. This time last year on this panel, that was my most favorite, anticipated show to return for the fall. And now I'm like, I don't know. I saw it on the list. I was like, oh, it's still on. I guess I should maybe try, but I don't know. But now you're telling me.
No, you were right. It was bad for a while. It got better.
I dropped it. Yeah. Well, for me, I'm excited for The Middle to come back. I know I'm in the minority.
Their last season. Yeah, my friend Brock Charlelli, who plays Brad, he's my friend.
Yes, yeah, so it's finale.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
So I'm going to take a look at the finale of it.
Yeah.
And then This Is Us is on my list as well. I mean, because it's just everyone I know watches it, so it's fun to watch it, talk about it.
I don't watch it.
It's really good. Are you actively not watching it?
Yeah. You are?
I mean, I didn't choose to not. I was going to, and then I just never did.
You would cry every week.
And I think that's probably
why. And you'll laugh, and you'll feel good.
I cry every week.
I do too.
I think I recorded it, and then I ended up deleting it and taking it off my record.
Honestly, I just cry when I see all of their faces. Yes. I'm just like, oh my God.
I do like, what's his name?
Milo.
Yeah, I do too.
Like him a lot.
Well, I'm disgusted. ABC on Sunday nights. I don't know what. I mean, do you remember the nights of Desperate Housewives? Yes. And that other show with Kara Sedgwick? What was it? The family, Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, I love Brothers and Sisters. That was Kara Sedgwick with Sally Field.
The blonde one. Who was the blonde one?
It was, what's her name? Oh my God, Patricia Wedding was on it, and Ken Olin was a producer, and he was on it also. Yeah. And what's his name on The Americans was on it? Rare Rise.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people on there that were really
good. But ABC used to have such a good, strong Sunday night, and now, fall 2017, they're putting on the toy box on ABC Sunday.
Can I just ask, how much weight do you think the days have anymore if we just watch it online?
See, that's what,
you know what I mean?
Good point.
I've been saying this for a while, especially with the soaps, because we do the soap block at AfterBuzz. I get that there's a soap formula, that repeating, the flashbacks, and that. But that was necessary when you couldn't record things, and you wanted to get people into the show and catch them up to what happened. There's absolutely no reason this day and age that I need to see a scene three and four times.
Yeah.
I got it, bro.
Yes.
Move. Like, how are they not getting that it needs to be a new formula?
Yeah.
There needs to be a new way of looking at this.
Yeah. Here's something I just want to read four quick things. This is really interesting.
Why
because
you guys get me so wound up?
It's a ranting show. You bring up a good point. There's also something that we talked about kind of in our pre-show about numbers and stuff. These are four things that are really interesting because we have a really good point nowadays. When MASH series finale 1983, Goodbye, Farewell, Amen, in its 11th season drew 110 million people live. Because back then there was no
110.
I was one of them. There was no cable. There was no nothing. Who Shot JR in 1981 drew 88.6 million.
That great episode.
I know that was a good one. I was one of those people.
Study that episode.
Roots. The final, I was a kid, why we had to watch it. 99 million people watched the last episode on the eighth night of it. And on daytime, give a little daytime shout out, Luke and Laura's Wedding in 1981 remains the number one daytime ever of any show. 30 million people watched that one day, and I was one of them also.
Wow.
We watched those dry stories.
Didn't watch any of those.
You watch any of those? So, but my point
I
is,
alive
Who Shot JR, I watched.
Who Shot JR was good. The reveal of Who Shot JR was Kristen. Yeah, you're spoiler alert if you don't know that by now. But my point is, back then, you had to watch.
Yeah.
At the time, there was no DVR. Yeah. There was no VCR. There was nothing. You had to watch on that day at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to 40 years later, where we have streaming services, shows being shown on access channels, like you said, CBS.com or HBO Go. I wonder how, do we need nights where you have to, are they important anymore?
From what I learned in school, it matters advertising dollars. Why?
Right.
Yes, but
Thursday through Sunday, that's like a prime period for top money.
Right.
So to me, just to continue my rant with this toy box, I mean, it's Shark Tank for kids toys. And I mean, it should be on, I think it was originally on like Friday nights
after
at like
Shark
8
Tank,
or 9
probably.
O'clock.
Right.
Love me some
Shark
Tank.
I love Shark Tank.
So that show has run its course for me entirely.
Bethany's coming on. It's pretty funny.
What?
Shark Tank, yes.
The toy box, though, really, I mean, this is the best they can do. When you think of the amount of pitches that are submitted to these networks, the amount of ideas and people out there trying to sell things. It's an insult. I mean, I would never be caught dead watching the Toy Box. Even worse, America's Funniest Videos, also on Sunday nights on ABC. How much longer are we going to keep it going?
We already know the answer already. It's that, you know, it's reality TV is cheaper to produce.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You already know that.
But who's watching these shows?
Everybody wants to do the least amount of work and make the most money.
Thank you.
What this is all about.
I'll tell you who's watching it. No offense to my family, but offense to my family. They're watching it.
Yeah.
My family in Ohio are watching it. They think it's hilarious. My family, you know, in Kansas watch it. But that's who's watching it. That's why they're still on the air. It's that part of America that doesn't have our sensibilities.
I just think, look, if you're getting paid in the millions to work in programming and scheduling, you should have a little bit more pride in what you're putting out.
I agree with that. Well,
I just think that's lousy.
I agree with you.
We get back to now choosing somebody who actually has a creative mind and wants to do something different versus hiring your best friend.
You mean nepotism exists?
No.
All right, Mark, what are you not interested in looking at coming out in the fall?
You know what's so funny, and I already got some hate tweets about this because I tweeted about it after episode one, which I don't think I'm going to continue watching. Is American Horror Story.
I agree with you.
I watched the first one and I tweeted if this whole season is going to be about clowns jumping out at, what's her name?
Tara Paulson?
Yeah, Sarah Paulson. Then I'm done. Because I'm just like, literally, that was what the entire first episode was, seeing clowns. And I'm like, really?
I think
this is what we've gone. Like, I thought the trailer looked intriguing. I was like, okay, you know, it's about the election. Then we're going to do a spin on this. I didn't watch beyond that. I have them saved. I'm considering going back, but I don't know.
It's all style, no substance. Yeah. Like, beautiful posters. Whenever I see a Ryan Murphy show poster, yes, let me watch. Yeah. I turn it on, and I'm not interested. Like, it's nothing. It's just fluff. Like, it's just for the promos to me. Yeah. Like, to look cool.
I think it's kind of my page turned.
I never could take to American Horror Story. I've never gone through a full season. I've tried almost all of them.
Yeah. Hands down the best. Asylum.
What about you, Isabel?
Young Sheldon. I just...
Not interested.
I just don't like Big Bang Theory at all.
As a returning show, you wouldn't bother with the Big Bang Theory.
No. Either. Oh, I should say that. I just don't want anyone to watch Young Sheldon. I don't want to support this franchise. Yeah. I think it's so lazy. I don't think... It's not funny. No. It's also, like, kind of a bigger issue of, are we laughing at someone with potentially who's on the autism spectrum? Right. Like, is that the joke? Because I don't think that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not to get super PC about it, but I don't think that's funny, and I don't know. I'm not a fan. So.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I have yet to meet someone that is a big, Big Bang Theory fan.
I have. It's, again, to my family.
Yes, it's...
It's them. It's like they always say to me, James, we're normal people. We're not like you, James. They always say it all the time. And they watch these shows because... Again, no offense to everybody out there who has these kind of jobs. I used to have one too. They work in cubicles all day, 9 to 5. They get off at night, they go have dinner, and then they sit and they watch 3 hours of television and they watch shows like that.
Yeah.
It's comfort food. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's, you don't have to think about it. They think it's funny. Then they go to bed at 11 o'clock.
I don't know anyone that watches it yet. It's the number one comedy on television.
I'm not going to watch it.
Not here. Not in our Los Angeles bubble.
Yeah,
I know folks who watch.
But I almost worked at Warner Brothers. I was training to be a tour guide. aren't you glad you went on my tour? I would have taken them down a whole other path. Anyway, but that was one of the big things when we were getting trained was they were like, just get ready. It's going to be the number one. They're going to want to go buy the studio. They're going to want to go see the set. They're going to want to see
Johnny Galecki?
Johnny Galecki.
Who's from Champ?
I was like, all of a sudden his last name dropped. And I was the same thing. I was like... Okay. I'm like, they're going to love my tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them like 5 minutes.
You guys go in. I'll wait out here.
I would have loved break.
Yeah.
And also, Kevin can wait.
No. Yes. Yes.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Oh, my God.
Please stop making roles for
this
guy.
Okay. And, you know, there'll be some Leah Remini on her Scientology crusade. I'm all about her.
Oh, yes.
I'm obsessed. I'm totally obsessed also. But her now joining the show to recreate the Kevin that other which I hated also.
Yeah.
The whole fat man, skinny girl wife thing just bugs shit out of me.
Yeah.
Stuff out of me, excuse me. I'm so not looking forward to that show at all.
Yeah. No. Well,
anything Kevin James.
Yes. Well, let's bring it all together here. I mean, overall, how do we feel about this new fall season? I think it's another safe one, in my opinion. It's a little bit more of the same. You know, a lot of stuff that just doesn't appeal to me. And, you know, and then there are a few things that do in between, a few returning shows. But ultimately, I feel like I am maybe going to watch regularly. Maybe four of these shows. Yeah, I mean, right. We're looking at, we have lists in front of us. Yes. Here.
Yeah.
Right. And size 10.
Well, and some of these, I was going to say earlier too, the Good Girls that I mentioned with Retta is a mid season thing, so that's not necessarily happening right now.
But I'm going to look at that too, but yeah, right. I mean, who knows when.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it is what it is. I mean, I don't really see like anything. And there's no, I don't see any, like, there's no This Is Us that there was last year where it was really buzzworthy other than this Young Sheldon show.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to promote.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I didn't even know what it was until I saw, I happened to see something and went, oh, it's that guy from the
Big
Mouth.
Yeah.
He narrated, of course.
I was like, oh, okay.
So what are your final thoughts before we call it home?
I feel like we can summarize this television season with the programming is not risky because the world is kind of, you know, unstable right now.
Yeah.
So that's what we get.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. She said two words out of my mouth. I like that.
Yeah. All right.
We're done. Please leave. I'm asking you.
It looks like we're getting thrown out of here. So let's just promote what we want to promote and tell us where we can find you guys and to support the show. I do want to say to those listening, please tell a friend about this show to get them to listen to it.
Yes.
There's a lot of good stuff. There's more stuff coming. I've got a lot of stuff planned. It's a lot of work, kids, so I want people to enjoy it. So if you know someone that watches television, tell them about this show. So with that said, Mark, what would you like to promote, and where can we find you in the ethos?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, LorayneLove. And if you want to know why it's Lorraine Love, Google her. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, please stop by the Odyssey Theater. We have three 99-seat theaters. We're the longest-running 99-seat theater in Los Angeles. And we're just wrapping up our 2017 season, but have some exciting things for 2018 coming up. So go to odysseytheater.com if you want to know more and come visit me there.
And thank you, Mark, for inviting me to see shows at the
Odyssey. Yes, he was there last night. Came to see our new show, The Dance of Death, a vicious comedy by August Strindberg, an adaptation by Connor McPherson.
You are selling it.
I love it. I love it.
I can't tell you how it's been so nice to have live theater back in my life.
Well, and that's, you know, what's funny is when I send out letters and I post on Instagram and stuff, I go, how many of you say I need to see more live theater and haven't? Call me and let's get you in and let's get you back watching. Like, because it is. Yeah. It's an immersive, it's the original 3D, you know?
Yep. Oh, I love that.
And then I'll be on Dish and Days tonight.
I am James Lott Jr. You can follow me. We're all James Lott Jr.'s soul. Everywhere on all social media platforms. Tonight is my last episode and 2-year anniversary of GH Report on AfterBuzz TV. It's General Hospital After Show. Also, I have a new single coming out called Inglewood Is the Place on October 5th. I have a new video coming out for my first single, I Am Ready. It's on Monday, September 25th.
That's when this comes out.
So that's coming out. It's my first video ever. I'm very excited about that. And I have a couple of books coming out. My books are on Amazon.com. My music's on everything on social media platforms. And you can follow me at James Lott Jr.
Wonderful.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Isabel Carasso. And you can catch my improv team, Logan Everett, at the Clubhouse at least once a week, usually. And on Facebook, we are... we are Logan Everett. So check us out. We're fun.
I love it. You guys should keep up with us if you want to chat about TV. I know that I'll have a lot to say over on my Twitter. And just in general, if you have any questions for me or about the podcast, send them my way. I'm planning to do a Q&A episode of The Rants.
Oh, so,
something I haven't done before. So just in a general,
are we allowed to submit questions? Anything.
Yeah.
Okay,
it can be about anything. And your question may end up on the show. That'll do it for us for this wonderful episode of Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk Fall TV Panel. Thank you all for attending. Thank you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grants Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.